Welcome to episode 156, the 3 weeks later edition of the Bronx Beat podcast presented by BP Bronx. My name is EJ Fagan. I am back. I am your host. I am joined today by Dr. Paul Semendinger.
Hello, EJ. How are you?
I am doing great, Paul. And we are also joined by a new contributor to this podcast who will be joining us hopefully pretty frequently from here on out, Mr. Devin Foster.
Hey, guys. Glad to be with you.
All right, so Devin, introduce yourself to the people.
So I'm Devin Foster. I know EJ through scouting, and I've been a loyal listener for the past probably half a year, maybe a little bit more. I enjoyed listening to EJ, one of my closer friends from camp, on the car ride to me while I was student teaching this past semester.
Yeah, so Devin, you're a teacher. You're also a semi-professional frisbee player for the Philadelphia Eagles or something.
Philadelphia Phoenix. The Eagles are a football team, not okay. Quite up there.
That's
with
how much
that,
I know about the
Eagles. Yeah, exactly. So I figured I'll provide any athletic information that you guys need. I have had a lot of injuries, like hamstrings, like Tanaka. So whenever you guys are talking about something athletic, I'm sure I'll chime in about that.
Yeah, so that's what we're going with. And Devin, by the way, if you just listen, he's got a little bit of static in the background. We're going to fix that for future episodes. For now, while he's talking, just please bear with us for a little bit of static right there. We're going to get right into the fun news. Not so fun news. There's been a lot of injuries in the Yankee world since we last talked. It seems like the entire team has gotten injured since we last talked. Most recently, D.B. Gregorius bruised his ankle, I think it was, running into a player at first base on Sunday night. He will hit the disabled list. It doesn't sound like for too long. Paul, what do you think about the D.D. Gregorius injury, and who should replace him, replace his playing time for the most part?
That's a great question. Obviously, that is a big blow. How many more injuries can this Yankee team withstand? Tonight, Gleyber Torres is playing shortstop, and I think that makes the most sense. He was a shortstop. Only over the last year or so is when they've tried to transition him to second base, really only because D.D. Gregorius has done so well and he's been such a great player. So you're putting him back to his natural position. That makes all the sense in the world for me. And who should replace him? It really comes down, I think, to a question. They brought up Voit, who I'm just not high on. There's nothing about him that seems to inspire any confidence in me. So it seems to be a debate between Voit and Tyler Wade. And if it were me, I think Tyler Wade offers you more flexibility, and I would have brought him up. And I think you'd have to stick him in right field because it looks like they're going to be using Neil Walker at second base, and that also is his natural position. So, I mean, those two decisions seem to make sense.
All right, Devin, so you got a couple of choices here. So we've got the current lineup, the tonight lineup, which is Gleyber Torres at short, Neil Walker at second. I believe Shane Robinson for this afternoon is in right field. That's one option. Another option is Ronald Torres takes one of those infield spots. Another option is Tyler Wade takes one of those infield spots. Which of those options would you prefer?
So the one thing I'll say is that Stanton's actually playing right field tonight, so that kind of helps us out a good bit, especially with the other injury to Judge and stuff like that. But I like Neil Walker at second base. I think he's kind of on a hot streak, but if that kind of dies down, then I wouldn't mind pulling up Wade for a bit. I just know for the 10-day DL, if you can get some production out of Walker at second base, then you're good. But yeah, I totally agree with Paul that having Gleyber at shortstop is the easy move.
I have another question for you guys. The Cubs just traded Daniel Murphy to the Nationals, or acquired Daniel Murphy from the Nationals. Now, I don't know where the waiver priority was, so maybe this wasn't an option. But would you have acquired Daniel Murphy for like a decent prospect if that was an option to you, Paul?
The answer is no. I like him. I think he becomes redundant. And, you know, I think there's a very... It's an absolute fact, as far as I'm concerned, that the Yankees are looking to stay under that luxury tax threshold. And so I don't think they could fit him under that. And even if they could, I would rather them get a true outfielder. I think we have plenty of guys, like you said, Wade, you've got Walker, and you've got Ronald Torres, who can all play in the infield. I'd rather get, if we're going to get somebody that can play in the outfield.
Okay, so I don't think any of us really think that the D.D. Gregorius injury is really going to kill the Yankees. We're going to talk about some overall state of worry in a minute, but he won't be out that long. He's bruised. It will heal. It is nothing that is going to threaten even the middle of September for him, most likely. Greg Bird has been out for longer with bruises, but we'll hopefully not expect that to happen. I want to move on to talk about Aaron Judge, the more serious injury. So Aaron Judge was hit on the wrist and fractured a part of his wrist the day that I left, so the day that I went dark, or the night before that I went dark, and has been out since. The initial prognosis was a three-week timetable, and it's 4 weeks. Excuse me, Aaron Judge is not taking swings yet. There is no timetable for him to return. It looks like, at best, we'll get him back in about 2 weeks, maybe even longer. So, Devin, I want to ask you, you were also dark during this period, so you also didn't have a lot of news, but like, what's going on here? And should the Yankees be making some kind of move to replace Judge?
So if you asked me maybe like 2 or 3 days ago, I would have said yes, especially when Romine was iffy, and now Didi's banged up, and Gary, of course, is out as well. Clint Frazier, I think you guys mentioned it last podcast, but it should be repeated that this is a real shame that he can't get into the lineup now. I mean, we were trying to squeeze him in where we could. But now that we have Stanton back and able to play the field, I don't think it's as big as a worry. And the original timetable is 3 weeks, but an injury like this is probably 3 to 6. So we're probably looking at towards the sixth weekend. And so, I mean, it's hard to say, but I'd say that they're probably okay. And I don't think there's any really great options. Maybe I was looking at maybe a Curtis Granderson. But other than that, I'm not sure if he really helps you that much more in the outfield. But that's the only thing that I could really think of if they want to make a move.
Paul, Curtis Granderson, and I'm going to add in another move right here. Let's just assume for a minute that Jacoby Ellsbury is healthy and just chilling out on the beach right now. Would you take either of those guys, add them to the roster for the remainder of the season?
Well, Ellsbury is actually injured. I don't know if you got that news.
Is he? Wait. Tell me.
He had hip surgery.
This news. Wait, he had hip? Wait, really?
Yes.
Okay, well, I guess my weigh-in chen for a Jacoby Ellsbury trade is not happening then.
So, no. He's hurt, and he's looking to next year to come back. If he was available, I'd activate him. And you know what? I think now the question is Curtis Granderson or Shane Robertson? And Shane Robinson. And, you know, Shane Robinson inspires zero confidence. So
why is Shane Robinson the guy? I don't understand why. Like, I see no reason to believe that Shane Robertson is, like, an undiscovered quadruple A player who could be any good.
Well, he's 32 years old or something, too.
Right.
I mean, this is silly. He's past his prime, and he never had a prime.
And it's not like he was good at AAA this year. He was terrible at AAA this year. Like, why are they resorting to Shane Robinson and not trading for Curtis Granderson or something like that?
The thing that will frustrate me, if it's true, is that the reason that they haven't picked up an outfielder is to stay under the luxury tax. Now, I get it. They want to reset it. There's something in my heart that bothers me when the New York Yankees, the most valuable team in all of baseball and a team with untold riches, penny pinches and gets to the point where they're not really doing the little things that are necessary in order to win. I hope that's not the case. But I can't see any other reason not to get a guy like Curtis Granderson then.
All right, Devin, how concerned are you about Aaron Judge when he gets back? Do you think that the Yankees maybe if, you know, the Yankees were at a more precarious position in the wild card, maybe the Yankees bring him back next week, but they're letting him rest because the playoffs are more important? Or do you think that this sounds like a much more severe wrist injury than we initially thought? The initial prognosis was minor wrist injury, heal quickly, won't have lingering wrist injury issues. But now do we have to worry about him, like, not having as much power for the next 6 months?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm that worried about that, especially as far as the next 6 months. But, you know, I think there will be some time where he needs to get acclimated back into the lineup. I mean, I just know that Stanton and Gregorius, I'd say, are probably two people that have really stepped up and picked up the workload for Judge. And so I'm not sure if that's just because Judge is gone. If he comes back, that kind of just helps out the lineup and gets people better pitches. But if he's not 100%, I mean, I'm a little bit concerned just knowing that those guys are picking up his slack, and then maybe there's something other than just having him in the lineup that's improving their stats.
Yeah, wrist injuries scare me. I want to zoom out for a second. I think the Yankees screwed up here. And the Aaron Judge injury just, and really the Clint Frazier injury on top of that, really showed you how much they screwed up. The Yankees should not be in this position where they're starting Shane Robinson, because as recently as 2016, they had plenty of players in their system that would be perfectly fine replacement players for Aaron Judge. So this is the 2016 Rail Riders outfield. Ben Gamel, right, currently on the Mariners, currently I think playing pretty well, or at least he's had some success over the last couple of years, would be a better player than Shane Robinson, a perfectly fine replacement player that they could have. Also on that team, Jake Cave. Jake Cave, I believe, is with the Minnesota Twins right now. I forget where he ended up getting traded to, but also having a he's with the Twins. Also having a decent season, just 25 years old, would be even like a pretty good replacement. He's slugging .480 right now in the majors, in a pretty significant amount of games. Like he's a real baseball player right now. Billy McKinney, not on that Rail Riders team. He was at Double A at the time, but Billy McKinney is good. Like Billy McKinney got traded to the Toronto Blue Jays the day before Aaron Judge got injured as a throw-in. They didn't really, I doubt that he was a major part of that trade. He was just kind of a guy that the Yankees had throwing around because they didn't have enough roster space. And you can think of other options on top of that. And this has been a problem for the Yankee relief corps. The Yankees have lost starting pitching this way. They've done a poor job of managing their 40-man roster, poor job of managing their reserve players on their team, and they've been keeping players around who just aren't very good, like Jacoby Ellsbury, when they could instead give that roster spot to somebody like Jake Cave. And it's, I don't want to over-dramatize this, but it could come back to bite them. Like, if they end up losing the wild card by one game, which we're going to talk about in a second, you really have to look to, the lack of plan Bs on this roster, or the shedding of perfectly good plan Bs and keeping around, substandard kind of bad injured veterans. So that's just my little rant. Paul, tell me, am I crazy? Is there anything wrong? Or
No. And again, this is going to go back to the point that I made earlier. I think the reason that Ellsbury has been kept on the roster is the Yankees have been unwilling to eat the money, eat the contract, and do what's necessary. Now, you look at the Red Sox. They had Pablo Sandoval, who they paid, I think, $40 billion to have play third base. He didn't do a great job. This was a couple years ago, and they cut him. Earlier this year, they had Hanley Ramirez. They didn't feel he was doing a good job, so they cut him. And the Red Sox are saying the main thing, now again, they are also looking at the luxury tax, but they've historically, over the last number of years, have cut players when they haven't been able to add to the overall franchise at any level. And the Yankees, what they tend to do is they tend to keep these guys around. Historically, the Yankees are always best when they use the resource that they have, which is their wealth, to build a team that is deep and solid. If you look back, we just celebrated that 98 team, and you look back at the guys that they had on the bench, Strawberry and Cecil Fielder, well, that might have been 96, but all these guys, Tim Raines, and you say, now this is a team that anytime you go to the bench, there'd be another great guy. The Yankees bench for much of this year has been three guys. One of them is a backup catcher, either Romine or Higashioka, and Shane Robertson or Luke Voit or a whole host of these other guys that are really uninspiring. And, you can be penny wise and pound foolish, and I think the Yankees in many regards have been that way. They haven't been willing to do the necessary things to build a complete 25-man roster or a complete 40-man roster that's really going to be able to withstand injuries and all those things that come up during the season.
Devin, do you think that we're just benefiting from a lot of 2020 hindsight here? And part two of the question, which player would you like to have? Like, who is the one that got away that you think that the Yankees would love to have back that they gave away for basically nothing?
Well, I would say that I don't think you guys are crazy, but if I had to play devil's advocate, it would be that maybe a month and a half ago we were talking about trades and stuff and how Aaron Hicks was, essentially like expendable. He wasn't someone that was untouchable in the outfield. And now we look at it and where would we be without him? He's having a nice season and, we don't have a lot of outfield depth. So I think that the injuries to Frazier and Judge and obviously really hurt. There might have been someone that I'm missing too, because I feel like we only have three outfielders than Neil Walker, but that would be the only thing that I would say about that. And then if I could pick one player to have back, I think McKinney is not like, oh man, he's the one that got away, but he would be helpful in this spot right now, and it wouldn't be like we could, I think we could easily give someone else that we wouldn't need right now, and that would just be an easy fix, and then we wouldn't be so worried about the outfield right now.
All right, so we're going to move on to more bad news. Also, since we have left, and in fact, probably looking at it a little bit before we left, I don't think I noticed the trend before I left at the end of July, but Luis Severino has had a bad 2 months. He has an ERA over 6 since July 1st. He has given up, he hasn't had a good outing in 7 weeks. He had his five-inning, two-run outing just last week, or the last start, but besides that, they've all been just completely unsuccessful, and even that's not very successful. So, Devin, I want to ask you, what's wrong with Luis Severino? I mean, what is, you've also been dark for much of this period, but what has changed about him? Is this bad luck? Is this regression to the mean? Is he hiding an injury? Like, what's your read on this?
I mean, it might be a cop out answer, but I think one thing that's missing now that he's gone on this slide would be confidence. And I felt like he was regaining some of that confidence to start. He wasn't pitching great. Not like the Severino we know, but he's pitching pretty good. He was shut out through 5 innings, and he had over 90 pitches. And I thought it was a really poor decision by Boone to put him back out in the sixth. He let up a couple of quick hits, and that's 2 runs. And he doesn't feel so great about his day, and I think that would have really helped his confidence and helped him moving forward.
Paul, what is your read? Do you think he's hiding an injury?
I don't think he's hiding an injury. He could be suffering from a tired arm. I think pitchers go through this, and you know, the Yankees have been riding him hard. I agree with Devin. You know, at this point in the year, if he's getting to 90 pitches, you know, you only have so many bullets. Why are we wasting his bullets in that game the other night? In fact, you know, miracles happen. But miracles are called miracles because they're very unlikely to happen. And I think at this point, the Yankees are not going to win the American League East. I think the odds are greatly against it. Something crazy could happen. The Red Sox have lost 2 in a row. The Yankees swept the Blue Jays over the weekend. They're playing bad teams, etc.
Less than 5% according to FanGraphs.
Right, right. So what I would then do is they're now playing for that wild card game. And they have somewhat, not a huge, but somewhat of a little bit of a cushion. So I think, you know, you have to also protect your assets long term. And even with Judge, no need to rush him back. With Severino, maybe you just shut him down for a couple starts. Let him just relax the arm, and then we can build him back up, you know, starting the second week of September and let him fly from there on out. But, you know, they keep running him out there, and he's not having success, so something's wrong. And I'm not smart enough as a mechanics of a pitcher's motion to be able to figure that out.
I don't think that's a bad idea at all, actually. I mean, the one thing I'll say is that I think we're pretty much out of winning the East, but that doesn't mean that we should give up. I think the one thing that we've been banking on for a long time is that Severino is going to pitch the wild card game, and if he's looked like what he's looked like the past couple of weeks, then that may not be a certainty anymore. So maybe sitting him down and figuring out who's our plan B for that wild card game is a good move.
Yeah, I mean, I think the good news there is that Masahiro Tanaka has improved quite a lot recently and is actually starting to look kind of good. But I want to ignore him. He's pitching tonight. Stay on the topic of Severino. So I'm looking at his stats over since July 1st. He has a strikeout per nine, which is down from the season, but is still, you know, still pretty good. He's got about the same walk rate for the season. The things that have changed on kind of the big headline stats is that he's allowed a ton of home runs. He's allowed 11 home runs since July 1st. And he allowed, I think I'm looking at here, 6 home runs in the 3 months before that. So that's an increase, a tremendous increase in home run rate right there. I'm looking at a lot of his stats, and he looks a lot like 2016 Luis Severino during these last couple of months. And that's a little bit scary to me. It makes me think that it's a mechanical issue or whatever changed after 2016 reverted back at some point in the middle of the season instead of an injury. Because we've already seen this kind of Severino. And maybe it's a little bit of mean regression. Maybe he's going to get better. His stats on the season at the moment, at least his FIP, looks almost identical to last season. So, you know, on average, he's been, you know, about the player we expect him to be. The one thing that scares me a little bit is that the spin rate on all of his pitches have decreased. So that's a sign that something isn't right, that he's not getting the ball out of his hand the way that it used to. And Severino's a high spin rate guy, and so he's losing a bit of his competitive advantage right there. I am with Paul. I think sitting him sounds right to me. I don't understand why major league teams feel the need to run players out there when something is clearly wrong. I think a week off or 2 weeks off, maybe you bring them up when you know, bring them back when September call-ups happen, seems to me like the way to go. And you're not harming yourself. He's not good right now. So it's not like you're losing potential games by Luis Severino not starting. And you still have, what, seven starts after that for him to kind of figure it out and get it going in September, five starts in September. And I think that's what teams probably should do. Any last thoughts on Severino?
Yeah, I think to sit him now would probably be the best time because we're still looking at Lynn and we have Happ in the rotation now. I mean, CeCe's hurt, so maybe once he comes back, then you can give him a blow. But we're looking at a couple different pitchers and figuring out who's going to be in our rotation for the playoffs. So now might be a good time to sit him as we're looking at these new people that we brought in.
Yeah, I guess the other time, it's either now or like September 1st you sit him. So you sit him, you call a bunch of relievers up, and if you have to, you can go for a bunch of bullpen games if you need to. And maybe you hope that CC or somebody is healthy again by then.
You know, they also have the Yankees. Sorry. They also have this guy named Justice Sheffield, who, you know, we'd like to have him on the roster. I mean, there is a loophole because they could bring him up even after September 1st and do something with as a replacement to Jordan and Montgomery. So
and he would still be eligible for the postseason. Playoffs.
Right, but why not, again, give this as an opportunity to Justice Sheffield? You know, you were just saying, EJ, about the fact that teams are reluctant to, sit certain players and they keep running them out there. Now, one of the things, I've been a critic of it this year, but Aaron Boone, if you want to say, you want to talk about players being rested, he has really had an affinity for resting players. He's taking guys that are supposedly hot and sits them the next day. I remember in the very first season of the year, he wanted to sit Brett Gardner in the third game, and I'm like, he's tired already? I mean, it's the third game of the year. So he has enjoyed resting his position players and giving them days off and trying to back up days off with off days and things like that to give them two or three days of rest as the season has gone on. It'd be nice to see him do the same thing with Luis Severino.
Devin, would you call up Justice Sheffield to start whenever he's next available instead of Luis Severino?
I'm not sure if I would do that, but I do think that you'd put some butts in the seats if you called him up. I think we're all curious, and we'd like to see it. And as a fan, I mean, yeah, go ahead. But I'm not sure if that's really necessary. I think that he probably is not going to be an impact player for us, and I don't think we'll use him in the playoffs. I mean, I think we have plenty of options, and we have relief pitching, and now we have starters, too, that we don't need to. But, I mean, if it happens, I won't complain.
And the plan right now seems to be bullpen for him overall. But I want to move on to one last question for you guys, which is your overall state of worry. Now, have either of you guys looked at the Fangraphs? Sorry, I don't spoil it here for you. The Fangraphs playoff odds for the Yankees yet?
No.
I haven't, no.
Okay, good. So I want you guys to Fangraphs has a combined probability of either winning the division and winning the wild card. So one of those two things happened for the Yankees. So I'm going to tell you right now, they have a 5.5% chance to win the division according to Fangraphs. Sounds optimistic, but you know whatever. I can't argue with the numbers. What do you guys think that the once you add the wild card, so subtract the total number from 5.5%, that's the probability of winning the wild card. What probability? What number would you put on winning the wild card? Devin, you go first. What percentage chance do they have of winning the wild card?
It's got to be high, right? I would think it would be around 85-90%.
All right, and Paul, before you go, Paul, I'm just going to say right now the Yankees, I'm just going to bring up the wild card standing so you have an idea right now. The Yankees have a 3.5-game lead on the Astros and the Athletics. So a 3.5-game lead in the wild card, the Mariners are 7 games behind. So essentially 4 games in the loss column in order to be tied for the wild card. So, Paul, what is your probability of winning the wild card?
I'm going to go low. I'm going to say 51.7.
Okay, so you guys are both way off, which is weird. So right now, this is crazy. So the Yankees have a 5.5% chance to win the division according to Fangraphs. They have, according to Fangraphs, which I do not buy this number, a 94.5% chance of winning the wild card to make a 99.9% chance of making the playoffs. That sounds optimistic to me.
I agree.
I mean, that would have to mean it's guaranteed. So if we lose every single game, does that mean we're in the playoffs? Like, if we're 99.9? I don't know.
Well, I mean, the probability of losing every single game is low, but it seems to me that the Yankees could lose four games in the standings to a very hot Athletics, and a very talented yet injured Astros team pretty easily. And I don't know what is generating what data is generating these numbers. I have to trust FanGraphs for being very good at this.
I think they're saying that it's not those two, because one of those two will win the division, and then the other would be one of the wild cards.
Oh my God, you're right. Oh wow.
Right. So Paul, it's really will.
Paul,
the
thank
Yankees,
you very much.
Yeah. Beat the.
That's what. That's the tie. Mariners. The tie is a problem right now. The fact that there's a tie screwed up the standings, and you're right. And so really, it's a 7-game lead that they can give up. So we are fact-checking me live on air. I was wrong. I apologize. The Yankees actually have to lose 7 games in the loss column to the Mariners in order to lose the division. And according to FanGraphs, they have the easiest strength of schedule remaining in the major leagues. And the Mariners have one of the harder ones. That's interesting. Now, given that they have a 7-game cushion on the wild card, should they basically be playing like it's like they're in the playoffs at this point?
And I'll go first, since Devin has to click in. This is what I'm saying. I think they're not going to win the division. You don't want to pack it in, but I think this is the time. You don't rush Aaron Judge back. There's no point to. Don't rush Gary Sanchez back. There's no point to. If the Mariners get hot and then they start creeping up, maybe you have to have a little more urgency. And I do have a fear. That's why I said 51%, because there have been periods of time this year where the Yankees just have looked flat. And, boy, things can change in a hurry. But realistically, they have a nice cushion. And so what I would do is I would focus on getting our players right, like Severino, and getting the guys who are injured back and healthy instead of rushing them.
Devin, how concerned would you be if you're the Yankees? Would you still be 0.1% concerned, or would you be like 20% concerned?
I would be relatively concerned. So let me get this straight. So if the Marlins take this, not the Marlins, who'd we say?
The
Mariners took the 7 games. Would that mean we're out of the wild card, or would we just not have it at home?
We would have 7. Right now, the first wild card spot is 3.5 games behind the Yankees. Right now, the Astros and the Athletics are tied for that spot. So one of those teams right now is in the second wild card spot.
So that's really what I'm more worried about is that the Astros don't win their division, and then we have to play the Astros in that wild card game. Is that a likely scenario?
That's highly probable. And then the real question is that in Yankee Stadium or is that in Houston?
Yeah. So I think it's really important to get that at Yankee Stadium, because versus the Astros is kind of like worst case scenario for us. So if that's in Houston, then I mean I really don't feel great about how we got here, about the season. But if we have it at home, that's a little bit better, and so that's what I'd be focusing on. I'm not worried about the Marlins catching up to us, but I am worried about maybe Houston taking the home field advantage for that wild card game, which would just be worst case scenario.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat there. I'm kind of between the two of you. I want a home wild card game. I think that makes a difference. I think it makes a difference for the traveling afterwards and all of that. And I would love to not play the Astros. I love the Athletics, but I would prefer playing the Athletics over the Astros. I think I'm with you that now that's put into proper context, and the 99.9% lead is essentially an unblowable lead, or a lead that's never been blown. I'm kind of in the slow walk Aaron Judge back, try out some things, that kind of mode right there. Any last thoughts on the last couple of weeks for the Yankees, or will they? You guys can table anything until next week.
I'm good,
Paul.
I think you had a very thorough podcast, EJ. Welcome back.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, no, I think we covered a lot, and I think that was really good. The one thing I'll say is, I mean, whatever FanGraphs says, if it's a 5% chance to win the East, we still got 6 games against Boston, I believe, and we're about 9 or 8 games back. So, I mean, I would, I wouldn't rush Judge back, but I would still, try and win these games, not only for home field, but, maybe if Boston slumps, I don't really see that happening. But if they slump for a couple games, then, I mean, who knows what could happen.
And the Yankees will be healthy by the time they play the bulk of those games against Boston. So that's also good news. Thank you guys both for joining me. It's been a great podcast. Devin, welcome to the podcast. Everybody else, we're sorry for the sound quality of this episode. We're sorry for missing 3 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever it was. We're sorry the Yankees have lost lots of games while we were gone. But we're back, which means the Yankees will be good again. And next week we will talk about that on your Bronx Beat podcast.